Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Welcome, everyone. I am delighted to bring on this podcast episode today, Sarah Shoemaker. Sarah has a background in education, and she developed a business in service to mindfulness intervention. So she coaches primarily professional women in life support, in major life transitions. Her coaching practice is trauma-informed and rooted in mindfulness and resiliency. So I'm so delighted to have Sarah on the podcast because mindfulness is such an important practice for healing our trauma. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Emma. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what inspired you to start working with trauma?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. It has both professional and personal roots for me, for sure. As someone who was working in the educational system for 15 years, I was always really, really interested in what makes children tick. I kind of had a reputation for being pulled or gravitating toward the most complicated students, and always kind of wanting to solve that mystery of what made them tick, their misbehavior or their avoidance. And as I dove deeper and deeper into why they would behave that way, I got closer and closer to trauma being often at the root of such behaviors. So I began to study mindfulness and trauma in education, very interested in that as a school administrator in the last 5 years. And about 5 years ago, my personal story, I left a marriage and purposefully went back to unpack my own trauma and really dive into my own trauma work. And so the interest converged, and within the past year, the calling was really, really apparent to me to bring what I had learned in education and throughout my professional career and combine that with what I had learned as a woman in the experience of my own body, how trauma impacted my body, how mindfulness and subsequent tools helped. And I created Embodied Breath to be of service to other women who I believe that it can support. So that's the very short version of that story, Emma.
Beautiful, beautiful. And for those listening, can you break down what mindfulness means to you and what it means to practice mindfulness?
Thank you. This is a really important question because it's a buzzword and because there are so many different interpretations of it. So I am trained in a very trauma-informed mindfulness, and I use focused-based awareness. So there are different types of meditation that take you, you know, far and away, and you imagine something, and this is not really that. So I teach my clients or my students, whoever I'm working with, a focus-based awareness that actually grounds into the body. And for the last 2 years, before going full-time in Embodied Breath, I was actually a school administrator, a school creator at a school for all children who were diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders. And the focus on the breath, for example, was really, really difficult. And so I got really acclimated into a practice of focusing on body and just got really acquainted with what happens when we tune into the body. It was also the same therapy, same-ish therapy that I experienced as a client, you know, as someone receiving therapy. I was given Hakomi. I went through Hakomi therapy, which is a somatic-based therapy. And so I just love what happens when we get in tune and acquaint with our own bodies, because when we notice sensations, when we notice emotions in the body, then we're actually very empowered to take the next step in our lives. When we do those kinds of meditations that take us far and away, it might be relaxing because inevitably maybe it's doing a similar thing in the brain to calm the brain down. But the focus-based awareness, I find to be very empowering.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I'm thinking about, you know, in my own trauma journey, I learned very early on that it was dangerous to be in my own body and to feel things in my own body. So I'm wondering, I know this is true for a lot of folks who come from physical, sexual, emotional trauma, if you could speak into, for those of us who are disconnected from our bodies, when you say body awareness, it's almost like a foreign language. So yes. How do you begin to become aware of what is going on in your body?
Right. Well, practice and gentle practice, right? So I don't expect that many people in our culture, from our children in our schools to women, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, I don't expect that we actually have that connection with our body. We have kind of lost it as a society. And it's sort of one of my missions that we regain it. It's incredibly powerful and empowering for women and children when we do. And so to answer your question about how to go about that, I lead my clients through it. And we just practice in bite-sized pieces and with really specific exercises or gentle, inviting sorts of exercises. So we always start with an awareness of the breath, and then we venture into an awareness of emotions. And as I'm on a call with a client or as I'm with a client, I'm asking them, well, where's the tightness in your body? Or, oh, you're noticing your shoulder. Does that shoulder have a message for you right now? You know, just kind of questions that we're not used to asking in our culture. But again, we get so much information from the body when we start to have a relationship to it. But no, I totally agree with you, Emma, that it's not customary. And I'll just definitely be honest with you that was certainly my personal experience as well. I was not comfortable in my body. My nervous system was on edge. You know, we call that hypervigilant, kind of protective. So many of us are, so many women are. And so when you're holding that protection in your body, it's kind of like it hasn't been safe to let down that guard in a really long time. And so that really takes a gentle approach. I agree with you for sure.
Yeah. Beautiful yeah. Example. Yeah. And actually, I want to lift up something really concrete around what happens if you have that kind of disassociation from mm-hmm. your body. And from your breath, I'm thinking about several years ago when I was a trauma chaplain. So I was working in an emergency room and in an ICU and attending to patients and team members who were experiencing extreme trauma. So gunshot wounds, cardiac arrest, motor vehicle collisions, that type of stuff. So I would follow both the patients and the teams through that trauma experience, through the time that they were at the patient was at the hospital. And sometimes yeah. that resulted in death. Sometimes it resulted in having to take someone off of life support. So really traumatic experiences. And what I started to notice with the trauma teams is they would go into the trauma bay and attend to the patient. You know, they'd get the pager notification saying they had 3 minutes to get to the trauma bay. And then a very short amount of time, they had to diagnose what was going on with the patient, create a treatment plan, most likely do some kind of intervention with the family, or I would do the intervention. And it was a very heightened, traumatic experience, because what I found is that the team members, the doctors, nurses, the surgeons, were not breathing. They were in this heightened alert state. You know, their body, their sympathetic nervous system was triggered. And as a result, they were not listening to themselves. They were not listening to one another. They were missing some very important details because they were in a triggered response. And that's terrible. That is terrible. If there is a patient on the table in a traumatic situation, they need to be attended to in the best possible way. So I started working with the trauma teams, helping them learn to return to their breath so that their bodies could be in a state where they could have all of the awareness that they needed to have without getting triggered. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Perfect. Good for you. And, you know, I'll say, thank goodness that we're becoming more aware of trauma as a culture. It's like, how does a trauma team not know about brain science and trauma? Well, they didn't, you know, and hopefully now they do. But I saw this in schools as well. The tendency to want to blame behavior on, honestly, I'll just make it quick, like anything but trauma or trauma brain at this point is just uninformed, right? I think that we need to take this trauma informed kind of to the streets, because what our brain is doing in a trauma response, we're just seeing it more and more broadly. And can I talk about that for a minute?
Like, oh my gosh,
what's going on in the brain? Cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a clinician, and I like to say that so everybody knows that I did work in therapeutic education, but a lot of this is like through my trauma informed and through my deep mindfulness training, and just I'm kind of a geek, and so I read about these things. So there is acute trauma, like you were talking about in that hospital, and really serious things that happen to people, and most of us have some sort of acute experience that has happened to us. Your listeners can look into the ACEs study, for example, and those are different categories of specific traumas that have happened in one's life. And the higher the ACE score, the adverse childhood experiences score, there are correlations to health later in life and things like that. And so there are these acute traumas. And what's happening in the brain when those traumas happen is it's not safe, right? Whatever is going on is not safe. And so the brain goes into fight or flight. So it comes out of the prefrontal cortex, out of the front, the thinking brain, kind of behind our forehead, and then back into the hind brain. Okay. And that's pretty basic understanding of trauma at this point. We know that. But in order to get a diagnosis of something like trauma or PTSD, there have to be those acute experiences, to my understanding. And what I'm really interested in, if I can kind of like build a bridge from those acute experiences into these really pervasive, stressful experiences that we have going on in the culture more and more and more, they cause the same kinds of brain reactions. But to my understanding, we don't really have the diagnoses for that yet. We don't really have the care for that yet. And so if a child is in a home, for example, where the father is like a functioning alcoholic and yells a lot and maybe sometimes slams something, but the child never gets hit. Well, if the child got hit, that would be a certain type of physical abuse. But the father drinking and having the loud, erratic behavior and slamming things around, all of those things are making that an unsafe environment. And so over time, that child's brain is actually developing these same trauma responses as someone who experienced an acute experience. And so we have a lot of children in our schools, for example, that have been living like that. We have a lot of adults who grew up that way. And so, you know, I just wanted to to talk about what's going on in the brain a little bit. But when we live in this really hyper-stimulating, hyperactive society that's like go, 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 a lot of the times what's happening in our brain is that we're veering toward this fight or flight experience in the brain that, you know, maybe there's not an acute danger in front of us. But our brains are more and more often kind of trained in this trauma response on a much more global scale than I think we currently realize.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, simply something as basic as the introduction of social media has caused us to need to have a flight or fight response in order to engage with people globally, mm-hmm. because we're constantly bombarded with information. We cannot get away from information. So in my mind, and I'm not a clinician either, but this is my operating theory. In my mind, mm-hmm. our social media culture, the way information is presented to us here in the 21st century, is actually keeping that trauma response activated.
It is. Yeah, I agree with you too.
So let's bring this home to entrepreneurs who come from a trauma background, or even who have children who are experiencing some kind of trauma response. Let's talk about entrepreneurs who are exposed to that kind of trauma response on a regular basis. And they're noticing that it's affecting their marketing or their sales, that, you know, they have a fear of visibility, that they're carrying shame, that they've got a fear of rejection, that all of those fears based in whatever trauma experience they have is impacting their marketing, their sales, the operation of their business, the way that they are able to engage with team members or with contractors, with prospective clients, with customers, all of that. What would you like to say to those people about what might support them in moving forward?
I love that question. You know, I'm going to back it up a little bit. You know, I think we come to our work as entrepreneurs often because we feel some sort of tie or purpose to this work. Would you agree with that? Safe to say?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think we get into business because we have a desire to be in business. I think we get into business because our heart is calling us toward a greater purpose. I'm speaking specifically of conscious entrepreneurs, but that we have a gift, a soul calling to share with the world.
I totally agree. So, and that was my assumption. There's this term soulpreneur, right? Like the conscious entrepreneur. And so in my experience too, with myself and watching others, your trauma will block you until it doesn't, right? And so if you are called into a purpose and you start a business, there's a really good chance that your big why is actually tied to your trauma, okay? So if something happened in your life that caused you to feel really, really passionately about something, and I'll share mine. Mine was when I was 18 years old, I gave birth to my first child, and my daughter was placed into an adoption. It's been an open adoption, which is less traumatizing, but losing your first child is traumatizing, right? And so that propelled me forward as a young woman thinking, okay, I don't have enough money yet. I don't have it together yet. I can't be a mom yet. You know, and like everything was like, go, 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 get it, get it, get it. And like 3 degrees later, like 3 college degrees later, I was like, shit, I realized this pattern that I've been perpetuating for myself, right? And so that's why I went back and did the trauma work that I mentioned earlier. So that is also one of my really big whys as to why I would want to serve women as an entrepreneur. Because as women, very, very often we're telling ourselves a story of inadequacy, a story of not enough. And I'm here to say, like, let's stop it, ladies. You know, like, how can I help? Right? So that's the root of my offering. So sometimes your big why really is tied to your trauma. And if you have not really dug into your own healing and your own trauma work, the business, the entrepreneurial endeavor will bring those things up. It's my belief, it's my experience that, you know, if you're claiming to be able to help someone with something, you will be tested until you really have that lesson down yourself and you can, you know, pay it forward. So, you know, if you're a conscious entrepreneur and something is coming up, you know, going back to your question, I would say find someone who can help, you know, find a therapist, find someone, you know, who does mindfulness work or like me or like you. I'm sure that you have some offers that can help in this area too. And then really trusting that what is coming up for you is the thing that probably needs to be healed and released. So those blocks in our business, I really try to look at those for myself, for my clients, as opportunities. Whatever is blocking you is your next opportunity. And that takes the willingness to show up for yourself and to get really honest and to maybe uncover some hard stuff before it gets easier. But that then unblocks you, which unblocks your business, because if you're an entrepreneur, your business is a part of you.
Sarah, that was brilliant. And what I'm hearing in that is, no, it was. You nailed it. What I'm hearing you say is trust the flow, trust the evolution of your business, and trust that this is coming up because it's going to inform you. It's going to inform your business. It's not something to avoid or push to the side, which, and I'll share the story of why I launched this podcast series on how trauma informs us in our business. Because I was noticing probably over the past 6 months or so that most of my conversations with clients were starting, whether I was doing money mindset stuff with them, helping them build the foundation for their business, helping them scale to multi six figures, all of the conversations kept coming back to, there is a part of me that is so deeply wounded that it's keeping me from being able to move forward in my business.
Absolutely.
And so I was talking with clients about sexual abuse, around about fear, about shame, all of this stuff. And finally I said, whoa, I think we need to talk about this. And I had a client actually say to me recently, I hired you because you told me you have a history of trauma and I knew that I could trust you. And so I launched this podcast series with, you know, in complete transparency, no plan. I just kind of put it out there on Facebook saying, hey, I think we need to talk about this. And the response has been tremendous. So that's what you're alluding to and what I mean by following the flow. I don't know how this is going to unfold in my business moving forward. I don't know if I'll develop a coaching program out of this or what, but it's in my heart to be talking about this stuff. And it's bringing up my own patterns around trauma. And I'm looking at my own autonomic nervous system and all kinds of stuff that inform how I show up in my business. And it's incredibly cathartic and healing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for doing it. And I want to add for listeners, you know, if there's something in the past and you're like, well, shit, I know that's back there, but I don't really want to spend the next 3 years going back and unpacking it. I will say that there are enough modalities that you do not have to sit in a talk therapy situation for years in order to unpack your trauma. There's body-based therapies. There's energy-based therapies. I actually have a woman who's a good friend of mine who works on my family all the time, and all of my clients see her at week five. So my program's 12 weeks long. After we sort of watch what arises, in other words, after we dredge the depths, then my clients see her for some clearing, and she does nonverbal trauma release work. And so there are a lot of ways to deal with the blockages that are in the body. You know, Hakomi is another one, somatic experiencing is another one, where you don't have to unpack it verbally or go back to the source. In other words, the body is still holding the pattern now, and the pattern is coming up now. You're maybe seeing it in your business as an entrepreneur to the listeners. And so by dealing with what's coming up now, you actually heal the trauma pattern of the past. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Good. And I'm so glad that you lifted up the piece around it not having to always be about talking. That the body, my theory is that the body longs to be healed, and to have that nonverbal body support is absolutely critical.
Yes. And I mean, I'm going to bring it back to breath work. Simply having a breath work practice, like a mindfulness practice based on focusing on the breath, is actually so, so healing at that body level, because you're actually healing the nervous system's tendencies, you know, to spike or to go into that fight or flight. So even a breathwork practice over time is incredibly healing.
Sarah, do you happen to have a very short breath exercise you could walk us through?
I love it. So, well, I named my business Embodied Breath, right? So it's how the breath moves through all of the body. And so simply sitting in an awareness with the breath and bringing a curiosity to the path of the breath, it's really, really eye-opening. So does your breath move easily into your throat, down your torso, into your stomach? What listeners might discover is, oh, you know, something in that pathway is blocked. Or, oh, I only breathe into the top of my chest and it never reaches, you know, my abdomen. And so noticing that path of the breath and not trying hard, but just inviting it to take a smooth flow and just work with it. You know, it might not happen in the first try or the second try, but just coming back to this curiosity with the breath and inviting a smooth flow is a really simple way to start to get into relationship with the breath.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sarah, how can people learn more about you?
Wonderful. My website is yourembodiedbreath.com. I am Sarah Shoemaker on Facebook. I'm very active there and on Instagram. And yeah, people can reach out to me. I always offer a free 30-minute phone call before people decide to work with me. So there's a no obligation opportunity for introduction. I'm so happy to do that for people. That's through my website.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This was amazing. I loved learning more about trauma and healing from you. Thank you.
Thank you for hosting. This is such an important topic. Thank you for having me.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.